thank you for your love that never runs dry. We thank you, Lord, that you're the fountain of living water, that we can come to you when we're thirsty. We can come to you when we're dry. Lord, we can come to you every season, every moment, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, that you made a way for us to enter in. We thank you, Jesus, that you came, Lord, when we didn't deserve your coming. We didn't deserve your hand, your rescue, Lord. So we welcome you this morning, Jesus. We welcome you, King of Kings. We welcome you, Lord of Lords. Lord, we lift up a song this morning because you're worthy, because of who you are, Lord.
I can see. You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies till all my fears are gone.
Sing that again.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer slave to fear. I am a child. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me, and love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
yes, I am a child of God. Yes, I am a child of God. Yes, I am a child of
every joy and every sorrow, every
everything bows at your name.
Sickness, darkness, chains break at your name.
Thank you.
fullness of joy, every fear suddenly wiped away. Here in your presence, all of my gains now fade away. Every crown no longer on display. Here in your presence, heaven is traveling in all of your wonders. The kings and the kingdoms are standing amazed. Here in your presence, we are presence, heaven and earth become one. Here in your presence, all things are new. Here in your presence, everything bows before you. Your presence, up this morning together as the one who gave his life for us, as the one who was beaten and broken, who gave his blood freely, as the one who took all the shame, who took all the sickness, who took all the pain, all the grief, all the suffering. Can we look upon the one this morning who was bruised for us, who was broken for us? Jesus, this is why you are wonderful and beautiful and glorious and matchless in every way, because you were the Lamb, the perfect Lamb, who had no spot or blemish, but who gave his life for the many. You gave your life, Lord, to take away the sins of the world from the beginning of time through all eternity. So we lift up your name this morning, Jesus, as the one who is wonderful, the one who is beautiful, the one who is glorious and matchless in every way. We look upon you, Jesus, the one who wore the crown of thorns, and we say you are crowned now as King forever. We look upon the one who took the stripes upon his back, and we say we are free and made whole because of those stripes that you took. We are free and made whole because you were broken. We are free and made whole because you poured yourself out. Lord, we look upon you this morning as the one who said, not my will, but yours be done, Father, because you were willing to give your life so that we could be redeemed, so that we could be set free. We have something to sing about this morning, and it's not because the sun is shining. It's not because our lives are going well. It's not because of any of those things. We have something to sing about this morning because Jesus died and he rose again and he reigns as King forever. So we lift you up this morning, Jesus. We're going to sing this out, that you are wonderful, that you are beautiful, that you are glorious, and you are matchless in every way. And we're going to believe this morning, Jesus, that all the other things are just going to melt away in your presence. Lord, that all the fears, Lord, all the burdens, all the sickness, Lord, is going to melt away in your presence, because you are good, you are faithful, you are kind, you are the Lamb who was slain, but now who reigns forever.
Beautiful, you're glorious, matchless in every way. Wonderful, you're beautiful, glorious, matchless in every way. Wonderful, beautiful, glorious, matchless in every way.
Faithfulness, Lord. Close, 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 close to us right now in this moment. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you for your nearness to us, oh God. Thank you, Lord, for your eyes of love, your arms around us, and your voice so tender and so sweet and so comforting to our hearts. We are forever grateful to you and that rugged cross that you hung on, Jesus, taking every sin, taking every sickness and every disease and every sorrow on yourself. And you were nailed to that cross, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you saw us through. You saw us through because that was only the beginning. It wasn't the end. It was only the beginning. It wasn't the end. And you saw us through, Lord. When they buried you in the grave and on the third day you rose again, you saw us through, Lord. You saw us through to the other end. When the stone was rolled away, you came out and you said, you are mine. You belong to me. My victory over the enemy, my victory over despair, my victory over hopelessness, my victory. Thank you, Jesus, that you saw us through. It was your faithfulness. It was your goodness, Lord, that saw us through to the third day, to the third day. I thank you, Lord. This morning we celebrate that third day. Not just that Friday where you hung on that cross, but the third day where you rose again and you came out victorious. Wow, thank you, Jesus. And you see us through today as we look upon the cross and we look to the empty grave. You see us through, Lord. You are faithful. You are faithful. You are a wonderful Savior. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You see the orphan all the way through, Lord. You see the brokenhearted all the way through, Lord. You see the hopeless all the way through because of the third day, because you rose again, because of the life that you give us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We take your body this morning and we take your blood. It's not a sign, it's not a symbol, it's reality for us, Lord. Every day, breathing you in and breathing you out. Your blood that was poured out, your body that was broken for us, Lord. Every second, this is our life. This is our lifeline. This is our lifeline. We breathe you in this morning and we breathe you out. We breathe you in and we breathe you out. And we take your body, your precious body, and we thank you, Lord. Forgive us, Jesus. Forgive us, Lord, for holding on to anything but you. We take your blood that was spilt, and we thank you, Jesus, that it covers us from the top of our head to the soles of our feet, cleansing us now this morning. Thank you, Lord. Giving us bold access to you, Jesus. Thank you for washing over us this morning. You are a glorious King, a wonderful Savior, and a close friend. You never fail. You never fail. You never fail. We bless you. We bless you, Jesus. And as we take your body and your blood, Father, I thank you that in this room there is just a beautiful cleansing sweep that crosses this whole room, Father. To every child, every man, every woman, your beautiful presence is covering each of us. As we remember, and as we partake, you, Jesus, the whole Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
This is Memorial Day weekend, and can we stand in honor of those that have served our country and allowed us to be able to worship here this morning? Can we stand in honor of those that have served our country? And we have the privilege today of commissioning someone into the military, further into the military. So, Andrew Taylor, if you can come up. He loves being on camera, I know it.
Yeah.
So we want to extend our hands to Andrew. We're commissioning him. He'll be taking a trip to Columbus this week, then on to Texas and on to Germany. He believes that's what the military will have for him. You know, they can change it at any time. So at any point. So let's extend our hands to Andrew. We want to bless him in his endeavors, Father. We thank you, Jesus. You're all over his life. God, he's received you. He believes in you. God, I pray you'd carry that as he goes into the training that he's going to go into, Father, and the deployment. Father, we say you are Jehovah Nissi, a banner over him of protection. God, you are one that can Protect him. You can keep him in safety, Father, no matter where he's at, even the heat of Texas. Father, we thank you for that, Lord, and the training there. Jesus, in every way, be strong in his heart. Lead him. Speak to him more than you've ever spoken to him before. And God, out of your word and by the Holy Spirit, Father, we commission him to serve you, Father, in a noble cause, Father, freedom around the world. Jesus, we believe in that. He believes in that. God, we pray that the heads of our military will believe in that and lead the troops towards bringing more freedom around the world. And the freedom in Andrew, Father, if he gets an opportunity to share with one person, Lord, give him that courage. Give him that courage, Father, and let him make an impact while he's there. We give you all the praise for his life. We thank you, God, for his desire to volunteer in this process, Father, and go forward. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. And activate more than one name for him. Activate Jehovah Jireh, God my provider. Activate Jehovah Rapha, God my healer. Activate all these names, and especially Lion of Judah, roar through his life in Jesus' name. Even though he's kind of a shy lad, roar through his life in Jesus' name. Amen. And everyone said, do we bless Andrew today? Amen.
And I just also want to add my voice and say, Andrew, we're believing for a very large outpouring of Holy Spirit on you beginning right now. And we just thank you that you're anointed for such a time as this. The Lord has called you for such a time as this. And the Lord says, do not despise that you're new at this. The Lord says, he's with you. He's with you, he's for you, and he's upon you, and he's in you. So the Lord says, I believe right now that there'll be many who will be impacted by your life, and that you will be a man who will not walk in fear. You will walk by faith and not by sight. The just shall live by faith, and you are a just and righteous man. So the Lord will use your life. You don't have to be afraid. So just keep serving him, loving him, surrendering yourself to him. I speak Romans 12, 1 and 2 over you, that you would live in that, you would learn in that, and you would revel in that. Because the Lord is your banner. The Lord is your safe portion, your safe and high place in Jesus' mighty name. We'll see you again. We believe, and that many people will be touched by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, dunamis power in you and on you to come right now, from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, with the fullness of every gift and calling, and everything that God has for you shall come to pass. Nothing will be thwarted in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to pray Amen. For him, right? Yeah. We're going to pray for him while he's gone. I didn't hear anything. Yeah. I didn't hear anything. Yeah.
Amen. We're going to dismiss the children to Kingdom Land, teens to their class, and we have a message for you as soon as I can get my things off the chair. It's no accident that Andrew's being commissioned today, and it's Memorial Day weekend where we are celebrating those whose lives have been laid down already, those who are not here to cheer Andrew on, those who are not amongst us, those who've given their life, those who have paid the price so that we could be free. That's no small thing. That's something to really be remembering of, but also celebrating of, to remember and to thank God for their lives. And those who paid the price, not just the ones who have gone before us, but their families and their friends and the generations and everyone who would come after them, who were there at the time, but also would come after them. And all the ones for many, many generations back, we may have somebody in our own family who has served in the armed forces, laid their life down. And some are still alive, some have gone on. But those who have lost their lives during that, we especially remember them on this Memorial Day. We have many days of celebration, but in this season, it's really important for us to remember, but also to see the significance of that. If Andy, if you can put up rescue, the respond and rescue, little flyer, little thing on the slide to be put up for you guys to see. This is something that I've mentioned over at Freedom Cry when we had our conference a week or so ago. And I just wanted to bring this up because it's extremely important for the season that we're in. I've been spending a lot of time in the book of Habakkuk this week. And I have, I believe, some things that the Lord wants us to see to be able to not only have a significant perception and perspective for today, but also what could the Lord be saying to us right now? What is he saying in this time? What is he saying to each one of us in this time? This is obviously something you've seen before if you were at Freedom Cry, and we've talked about it over the years, but it's very significant to me because everything that happens in my life from the past and actually now and even in the future as I pray for various things, filter through these fingers of love right here, these four words. They were given to me by the Holy Spirit on the day of one of our Freedom Cries early in the morning when I was just asking him, what message do you want me to bring? With all the facts, all the figures, all the things, all of us standing for, yeah, we want to see the end to eradication of human trafficking and any kind of modern-day slavery or any type of atrocity. Yes, yes, and yes. What do you want me to say? How do you want me to posture me? And I believe today, with some things from Habakkuk, the Lord's going to highlight some of these areas again today. The first song that we sang this morning, I don't know the name of it, but I'm no longer a slave to fear, might be the name. If not, it's that song. And I was really thinking about that because the Lord was speaking about rescue at that time. But if there's not an appropriate understanding of what it means to recognize and respond, the way that we identify the word rescue for our own lives, of where we are and where our loved ones may be and where we are in the place of history right now will be very different. We need to understand what the Lord is saying about recognizing who he is above and beyond what the problem is. When we start with the recognition of who are you, who really are you, and do I understand from that recognition that I have right now of who you are, where I fit? So I want to know you. I want to recognize who you are and what you're like. I want to recognize your kingdom ways. I want to know and recognize your kingdom heart. I want to know and recognize your kingdom thoughts. I want to know and recognize your kingdom plan. I want to know and recognize what you're doing in 2024 and even beyond that. What are you doing and why? And where do I fit in? There isn't anybody that wouldn't wonder about that at some point in their life, maybe on their deathbed. For me, I started wondering a lot about that when I was in high school and beyond. And then my life took various roads to get me where I am today. And it was really brought up in my face on Friday. Friday was a day of just, boom, I'm going to show you a lot of things, honey. You're going to see some things that really fit into the four R's. And they're part of your message, which I didn't recognize that even till today. It's like, what? He says, you've said from the beginning you want to know me. You said from the beginning you want to recognize me and my ways and my kingdom and all of that goes with that. So don't stop. I've got you on a trajectory. Do not stop. And don't go to the left or to the right. Stay where you are and keep going. And if you move in a way that won't be helpful, it's not a good idea in the season that we're in. Because life is short. He really is. And the Lord is saying, I want you to recognize me in everything, in your relationships with everybody else. But first and foremost, in your heart with me. Where do you stand with me? And what do other people know about where you stand with me? What do they know about that? What do they see when they see you? A nice girl? A nice guy? A person who always does nice things for people? Is that where it stops? Or does it go beyond that? What level of depth in other people's minds, their perception of you and me? What is it? What really is it? Is it the fullness of where it needs to be? Are we concerned with just doing good things for God and having a close relationship ourselves? Or is everyone around me going to have an idea of that one's different. That one, I don't even know what to say about it. That one looks different, sounds different, feels different. I can't put my hands around it necessarily. But the Lord wants people to understand that. So when we were singing that first song, I'm No Longer a Slave to Fear, it was all about rescue, what Jesus has done. It's like, okay, fine. Well, we always talk about what Jesus has done on the cross, what he did in the grave, what he did when he raised, and we live out of that. We have communion based on that. But I'm telling you, every one of us has an understanding and a perception of our Almighty Father, our Almighty God. And where we stand in the security of that inside of us is a game changer for everything that's going on in our life. We might be kind of sailing on smooth waters right now. We might be in turbulent seas. We may not even know where we are. There may be turbulence all around us, and we're just kind of floating along on a raft and thinking, oh, everything's kind of cool. Maybe not perfect, but, you know, that's life. Things happen. Bad things happen to people. It's just tough. But, you know, just do the best you can do. Love your family and move on. Have faith in God. That's true on many fronts, but there's so much more in the area of depth for that. God says, I want you to get this. I want you to understand more and more and more so I, God, can keep building and building and building. And I'm going to talk about Habakkuk in just a minute because this is the kind of guy he was. He was a minor prophet. And that doesn't mean he wasn't important like Isaiah or Jeremiah or Ezekiel. Who was the other one? I said Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, and Daniel, yeah. And there are many minor prophets. There's 12 of them. And it's not because they're more important, the major prophets. It's not that. It's that they're longer and there's more depth. You get into Habakkuk and he's got 3 chapters. It's like, oh, whoa. Okay, well, that's nice. I'll scoot through that. There's only 11 more. The Lord says, no, no, no. I want you to really understand why I spoke to my people the way that I did, how I did, and what I'm doing today and how I speak to you. It's like, oh, okay, I get this. So if we hear the voice of the Lord, which we do, we know the voice of the Lord, which we do, then we are prophetic in that we are listening and then responding to the voice of the Lord. If we don't, and we're not prophetic, and the Holy Spirit's living in us because we live under a new and a better covenant, then we're missing something. We're missing a lot. So there are some people who might be missing going to heaven, let alone missing anything more than that. We don't want that. But we also don't want people to just kind of skate in the door, so to speak, or the gate, and miss everything that they're supposed to be doing here and what God's purpose and plan for each person would be. We don't want that because he doesn't want that. If sin wasn't a big problem, Jesus never would have come. If sin wasn't something that was really treacherous to our Father in heaven, Jesus would never have come and done what he did. If we could have had relationship to declare us righteous, then Jesus didn't need to come. Although we do have some Old Testament folks who were engrafted in, and there was an imputation. And that means that the righteousness of God was imputed to them. The Lord dealt with them, but still, Holy Spirit wasn't living inside of them. It's crazy when you think about all the millions of people in the Old Testament, and now we are here under a new and a better covenant. And the Lord says everything was pointing to that. Everything from the Old Testament, from the Old Covenant, was pointing to that, to the time when Jesus came. So all of us are to recognize the Messiah, and Jesus is our Messiah. That means that when we recognize our God, we have a depth inside that's so undoing for our hearts that we will take the next steps. Because this isn't a one-point plan, this is 4. And so when God tells us, I need you to recognize who I am, what I've done, what happened before, what's going on now, and what's happening in the future, he makes a way for that to happen. If we get too busy, or we're too distracted, or we think, you know, I've just got to keep people from, you know, just going over the edge, that's my job, The Lord says, I'm calling you to be a peacemaker, not a peacekeeper. Sometimes it's going to get a little messy. Yeah, but that's not making peace. Oh, yes, it is. When we understand the depth of the power of the gospel, when people see who we are, who we contain, then Jesus himself, the Spirit of God himself inside of us, will proclaim out of our lives. And people will be drawn. God promises that. We just get shaky while we're waiting. And then we don't recognize that the enemy tries to keep us down, thinking, well, we're doing the best for the people around us. I was reminded of that on Friday. So strongly, I'll tell you about that in a minute, but let me just go on. When we recognize our God, which I spoke to a little bit at Freedom Cry, but a lot of it was recognize what the situation is and recognize our God in it and what he wants us to do so that we can respond. So if we are responding to Jesus as we recognize our need for our Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, if we are responding, it's because he's drawing us. And there's really no other way other than through Jesus Christ. People can come up with a bunch of head knowledge. They can study all they want to try to think they got this. But I'll tell you what, when the Spirit of God lives in someone, the joy of the Lord, whew, comes out of them. The joy. You see joy. You sense joy. You don't sense strain. You don't sense striving. You don't sense legalism. You don't sense fear. You sense joy and peace and the very righteousness. If they truly recognize who the Father is, who Jesus is, who Holy Spirit is, and they truly respond the way he designed it. And it's, you know, it's that response that really grips my heart. It's like, Lord, am I responding to you whom I know? Do I really know you in the way that you want me to know you? Are you calling me into a depth that I haven't tasted of yet? And the answer is always yes. But when it's without condemnation, you can move. You know, you're not bound going, no, this is my world. This is really good. I like it. Everybody's happy, pretty happy, but it's okay. No. The Lord is saying, inquire of me. Go after me. And then I will show you why you were created, what you're supposed to do, what the next step is. But don't get in front of me. And certainly don't lag behind me. It's like, whoa. So I've got to be in the Word. I've got to know the Word of God. I've been in so many discussions in the last couple of days with people. I literally had to sit and go, okay, I'm going to just let all of that filter through my life with you, God. And you just got to kind of share with me what the bigger picture is. I think I see the need, but what's the bigger picture? What's my place in the bigger picture? All right, let's move down to rescue. All right, we all want to rescue. Everybody wants to rescue. If we see a dog that's trapped in a sewer or some other place, some place where an animal is trapped, or you see things on Facebook and you go, oh my gosh, I got to rescue. There's that rescuing heart inside of each one of us, right? And it's so strong. It's like, I want to rescue you from pain. I'm going to rescue you from suffering. I want to rescue you from everything. But you see, our God has rescued us from something we really don't understand the fullness of. In this lifetime, we won't. In this lifetime, we will just know as much as we can about that rescue, which drives us to intense gratitude, intense adoration, intense submission, intense surrender, because we're so grateful. We can see, if you didn't do that with what I know, where would I be? Who would I be? What would I do? What would my life look like right now? It's like, whoa, this is a big deal. Well, I'm kind of grateful. I'm kind of thankful. And the Lord says, you haven't seen anything yet. You just wait. Watch what I'm going to be doing. Watch what I'm seeing. That's what Habakkuk was seeing. Habakkuk was like, hey, things are really grim here. Might even look like kind of like the United States or some other nations. And what are you going to do about it? Because I've been praying. I've been talking to you. And I'm supposed to hear from you and tell the people, and nothing's changed. I mean, a lot of these people, they're not following, they're not obedient, we're in slavery, there's this exile thing going on right now, and I don't like it, and I don't know what to tell them. What are you doing? And help me with it. So he was upset as a minor prophet, saying, hey, we're trying to follow the law, we're trying to do what's right, We're trying to love God, love my country, love my family, but something's wrong. There's still this invasion of darkness. And it's not us, necessarily. Maybe it is me. Huh. Am I part of the problem? I don't know. So Habakkuk went through all of this with God, going, you got to help me here. I mean, half of our nation is already in exile, and in another 20 or so years, there's going to be the rest of them. He didn't know that, but we do because we read the book. So, you know, he knew that this Babylonian invasion into his place in Judah was killing people, and they're living like hell on earth. The Babylonians who are coming in, but the ones who were there, they're just sleeping. They don't get it. They're supposed to obey. They're supposed to follow God. They're supposed to live with what Moses had told him, and they just weren't doing it. So he's there trying to warn them, but actually going after God and saying, will you tell me what I'm supposed to do about it, if anything? And basically then, what are you going to do about it? So the Lord eventually replies to him, which I'm going to show you a really quick video in a second. It's kind of fun. I usually don't want to do that up here, but I think right now for this, just to kind of bring it in, as I challenge you to all read Habakkuk, there's three chapters, and come ready, if you would, June 14th, Friday night, for our all-night watch of the Lord, because we're going to be praying and worshiping and saying, God, what do you say? Here's what we think, here's what we think we think, and here's what we think we know, but we want to hear from you. There's a lot of prophetic voices that are speaking, and that's great. I love it. I want to listen to people and go, huh, and then go to you and talk to you, inquire of you, because this is what Habakkuk was told by God to do. He says, watch and pray. Wait, watch what I'm going to do, and then I'll show you. And it's not going to be the way you think and necessarily in your time, but here's who I am, and here's how it's going to end. And he even gives us a picture of the last days. Is that cool? In Habakkuk, short-sighted Jewish people at that time, and even some today, will say, well, that was just for then, because they don't know Jesus, and they have not given their whole lives to him, as we sang about today, because they need to be free, and they need to have blinders taken off so that they will see that our Redeemer lives. Our Redeemer has already come. Our Messiah is here, and we need to live in the truth of that and then let him change not just our own personal lives, but our situations. And he will, in his way, in his time. And that can get kind of squirrely. I've been through a lot of things in my life with a lot of ups and downs and ins and outs, and I was reminded of my time as a teenager, actually, this week. And it was just like thrown in my face, front and center. It's like, whoa, so many conversations and ideas and experiences. And then what I was like, it's like, Lord, I don't just take that lightly. What was I like back then? And what were you doing in me, the questioning one, the one who was frustrated, the one who was discouraged, going, doesn't anybody know? Isn't there somebody who can tell me something? Truly, went on to my college years, became a little bit more rebellious, going, well, whatever, I guess, whatever. And then the whatever kept playing out, and I was reminded of all of that, and even beyond that, this weekend with people that came to me from the past. Unbelievable. And then fast forward that day, people who are in the now of this life, and I'm thinking, we're on different pages. Wait a minute, Jesus is king. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is everything. Jesus fulfilled it all. We need to know him above all else. So I'm asking God, this is Memorial Day weekend. You're not just talking to me. I just happen to be one holding the mic today, so I think he has something to say. So if you back up to the four R's, and there's the all-night watch of the Lord. Thank you, Andy, for putting that up. So recognize, respond, rescue, and the last one is restore. So the restoration of Israel, the restoration of our lives, the restoration of Christianity, if you will, those who know Jesus, the restoration of everything that Jesus paid the price for is still in motion, will come to pass. And God is saying, I'm going to speak things to you, even today, that are going to wreck your world, and you'll think about them later. We're going to kind of move fast because of the time here. And right now, before we go any further, I'm going to have Andy play this, or whoever's Everett. Hi, You're not short, Andy. You're Everett back there. How you doing, buddy? That's so cool. So we are going to have a little video, and it's going to move quickly, and it's about the book of Habakkuk, and it gives facts and figures, you know, things like that. But what I like about this, in 6 minutes, is that it's quickly taking a bigger picture from a text perspective and bringing it down, but it does not mean don't read the book. Because when we read, and we read the Word of God that's sharper than any two-edged sword, we are literally connecting with God himself with an expectation that he's going to speak to us. So he's going to speak to us about us and where we are and all the things I've been talking to you about. He wants to speak, but he wants us to inquire of him. This is really cool. So Andy's getting that ready right now, and I just wanted to tell you that, let me give you a couple of numbers here, that Habakkuk was written around 600. Habakkuk was around 600 B.C., so between 605 and 597, and you know everything kind of goes backwards from when Christ was born, right? And then it just increases in the amount of time from the very beginning. So 605 to 597 is the season that Habakkuk was a minor prophet, and it was written after the fall of Nineveh, which was 612 B.C. And then shortly after all of this, there was this invasion into Jerusalem. And we do know, remember, that there was this Babylonian captivity of 70 years. Well, these Babylonians, they came and they entered into this place, this Israel, this place of Jewish life that was really a place of sin and debauchery. And they put all kinds of people in bondage and eventually took them out and led them back into Babylonian places, not just staying in the Israel places. So the Jews, let me give you the exact time so you have it if you're taking notes. But the Babylonian captivity, when the Jews faced exile from Israel, they were forced to leave Judah to Babylon. 597 to 538 is when a lot of this exile was taking place, and the whole thing was 70 years. So you can imagine this guy. He's pretty nervous, and people don't like him because he doesn't have any answers. So that's why he's going after God. One thing the Lord's reminded me of, pay really close attention to what some people call the five woes. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. These are the things that it's going to look like, and see if that's what's happening now in our own world and life and culture. I mean, I don't have to stand up here and say, do you know things aren't good in our country? I mean, I think we know that, right? So that's a no-brainer. But we have to take a look at any of the patterns to see for us if we participate in any of the patterns. Because if we do, there's a likelihood that our generations will for as long as Jesus tarries. We don't want that to happen. We don't know when a lot of these things that are mounting up, when they're really going to take root. Honestly, you've heard me say so many times, it's not enough just to say, yes, I know Jesus is my Savior and Lord, and anybody who he brings to me, I'll tell them about him and then go live the fine life. It's not enough in this season because there are many people who are not going to be rescued, and therefore they're not going to be restored. And so if we don't have the proper response to God about what's going on, after we properly recognize who he is and what's going on, how can we ideally rescue and restore people? When Dr. Marlene Carson was here, it was really interesting. She was kind of standing up in boldness, which was great for her, and basically saying, look, you can do all you want in human trafficking to fight the atrocities from hell like that. But if you don't have Jesus, and Jesus is not your solution ultimately, and I'm paraphrasing, forget it. It's just not going to work. You can take every anti-anxiety class. You can go through all kinds of trauma training and trauma removal and all kinds of things. But ultimately, nothing will save our soul and help us be healed and delivered other than Jesus Christ ultimately. So we have to be very wise in what we embrace and how we embrace what we embrace. I'm always thinking, having kids and grandkids, and they're here today, some of them are here today, but I'm always thinking about generations for me, because I'm obviously not of the younger generation. So I'm thinking, what will this be like for my own kids and spiritual kids, who are my kids as well? My own blood kids are my spiritual kids as well. Thank God for that. But I could also say that my grandchildren, and if Jesus comes back, great-grandchildren, what's it going to be like for them? So it truly is important in how we do what we do, how we conduct church, how we conduct Kingdom Kids, what we do in the summers, what we do, everything that we're doing right now spills into, Lord, what are you doing in this world right now? Because I need to know so that I can be not only prepared for my own world and life, which I think everybody would say that's important to whatever degree, but that I can prepare others through my confidence, my boldness, and the ideas that God gives me to go after the things that he says, here, this, touch this, touch this, touch this, touch this. I need to do it. Well, I don't want to, God. I know. So, like I said, touch this, touch this. It's very important right now. So if we're going in different directions, even with our own callings and giftings and all that, but we're going in different directions from the body, from the tribe that God has us, that's a problem. And we're going to move like a snail or even backwards. That's a big problem. And the enemy just laughs. He's saying, it's time to accelerate. That's what we pray for, acceleration of all of our individual walks and what we're about, so we're thinking outside of our own four walls. We have to. Our own four walls are really important, but God says when you walk in the four R's and it's on your mind, in your heart, whoa, game changer in your house, because I will accelerate what happens in your family line, in your four walls. I will do it. And it's like, do I believe that? Yes. I've seen it, and I know it. And God says it's for all of us today. So let's go ahead and put this on. It's 6 minutes. You can take some notes. It's pretty good. But it just kind of gives you an overview of the book, and then we'll go from there.
The book of the prophet Habakkuk. He lived during the final decades of Israel's southern kingdom, and it was a time of injustice and idolatry.
There's a video with
He saw the rising threat of Babylon on the horizon, and that was not good news for anybody. But unlike the other prophets, Habakkuk does not accuse Israel. He doesn't even speak on God's behalf to the people. Rather, all of his words are addressed personally to God. And the book tells about Habakkuk's personal struggle, his journey of trying to believe that God is good when there is so much evil and tragedy in the world. And so Habakkuk's words are actually poems of lament, and they're very similar to the laments that you find in the book of Psalms. The poet lodges a complaint and then draws God's attention to suffering or injustice in the world, demanding that God do something. And knowing about this lament form, it's actually the key to understanding the design and message of this short book. Chapters 1 and 2 are framed as a back-and-forth argument between Habakkuk and God, and the prophet lodges two complaints to which God offers two responses. His first complaint is that life in Israel has become horrible. The Torah is neglected, resulting in violence and injustice, and it's all being tolerated by Israel's corrupt leaders. And Habakkuk, he's crying out, asking God to do something, but nothing seems to change. But then all of a sudden, God responds. He says that he's very aware of the corruption of his own people, Israel, and that he's summoning the armies of Babylon to bring down his justice on Israel. And very similar to the message of Micah or Isaiah, God says he will use this terrifying empire to devour Israel because of their injustice and evil. But Habakkuk has a problem with this answer, and so he offers his second complaint. He says Babylon is even worse than Israel. They're more corrupt, they're more violent, they've deified their own military power, they treat humans like animals, gathering them up like fish in a net, he says. They devour nations and people groups in order to build their own empire. And so Habakkuk says, how can you, a holy, good God, use such corrupt nations as your instruments in history? He demands an explanation. In fact, he depicts himself as a watchman on the city walls waiting for God's response, which eventually comes. God tells Habakkuk to get out some tablets and chisel and write down what he sees and hears. It's a vision about an appointed time in the future, that even though it may seem slow in coming, it will eventually come. In fact, God says that the righteous person will live by their faith in this hope and vision. So what is this divine promise that Habakkuk is supposed to write down? It's that God will bring Babylon down. God says that the violence and oppression of the nations creates this never-ending cycle of revenge, and that God will use this cycle to bring about the rise and fall of nations. And the fact that God might, for a time, use a corrupt nation like Babylon does not mean that he endorses everything that they do. He holds all nations accountable to his justice, and so Babylon will fall along with any other nation that acts like them. God's promise is then elaborated by a series of five woes that describe the kinds of oppression and injustice that's perpetrated by nations like Babylon. The first two target unjust economic practices, like how wealthy people will charge ridiculous interest just to keep poor people in debt, and so they build their wealth through crooked means. The third woe is a critique of slave labor, treating humans like animals and threatening them with violence if they don't produce. The fourth woe targets the abuse of alcohol by irresponsible leaders. While people are suffering under their bad leadership, they're partying and wasting their money on sex and booze. And the last woe exposes the idolatry, the engine that drives such nations. They have made money and power and national security into their gods, offering these allegiance at all costs. And so people become slaves to their own national empire. Now, the practices described here aren't unique to Babylon, but that's part of the point. Given the human condition, most nations eventually become Babylon. And so this is how God's answer to Habakkuk in this book becomes God's answer to all later generations, to anyone who lives in a world ruled by other Babylons. But it leaves the question hanging. Is God going to let this cycle, the rise and fall of Babylon-like empires, go on forever? And that question is what chapter 3 is about. We're told that this is a prayer of Habakkuk, and it begins by Habakkuk pleading with God to act now in the present like he has in the past in bringing down corrupt nations. And what follows is a very ancient poem. It first describes a powerful, terrifying appearance of God. It's very similar to the opening poems of Micah and Nahum, and similar to the appearance of God at Mount Sinai in the book of Exodus. There's cloud and fire and earthquake. When the Creator shows up to confront human evil, everybody will be paying attention. Habakkuk then goes on to describe this future defeat of evil as a future exodus. So just like God came as a warrior and he split the sea in his battle against Pharaoh, Habakkuk says that God will once more bring his judgment down on the head of the evil house. So Pharaoh, like Babylon, has become here an archetype of violent human nations. But at the same time, we're told that when God confronts evil, he will save his people and his anointed one. It's a reference to the king from the line of David. And so in this poem, the Exodus story of the past has become an image of the future Exodus God will perform. He will once again defeat evil and bring down the Pharaohs and the Babylons of this world. He'll bring justice to all people and rescue the oppressed and the innocent. And it's this hope that enables Habakkuk to conclude the book with hopeful praise. Even if the world's falling apart with food shortage or drought or war or whatever, he will choose trust and joy in the covenant promises of God. And so Habakkuk, by the end of this book, becomes a shining example of how the righteous live by faith. Habakkuk recognizes just how dark and chaotic the world and our lives can become, and he invites us into a journey of faith, of trusting that God loves this world more than we do, and that he will one day deal with its evil. And that's what the book of Habakkuk is all about.
Amen. Well, that sounds like, well, that's perfect. Let's get our coffee and go home. But when I was watching this, I thought, oh, okay, Lord, what is your point for what we can do right now? And I love the fact that it talks about a past exodus laying the groundwork for a future exodus. And so we're really good at talking about, singing songs about Pharaoh came and Moses was used to part the Red Sea. I've used that myself and seen miracles happen in my own family, knowing that, but not applying that then, which I would now, to what's coming in the future. Because now the Lord is saying, I'm increasing the spirit of revelation. I'm increasing the spirit of wisdom. I'm increasing the spirit of understanding. I'm increasing the spirit of knowledge. Not knowledge. The spirit of knowledge. That involves Holy Spirit. I'm increasing the spirit of power. I'm increasing the spirit of might. I'm increasing the spirit of the fear of the Lord. In other words, I'm bringing the completion of Holy Spirit revelation to this world. And since he lives inside of you, which is part of the new and better covenant, let me show you what dunamis power looks like inside of you. It's just not enough anymore to say, you know, it's because of Jesus' power. It lives inside of me. He's raised from the dead, and I'm going to stand, and that's good. But the Lord says there's so much more with that. He says, now unpack that. He says, inquire of me, spend time with me, and then do the stuff. So I was talking to some friends the other night, and I was talking about the marching orders that God gives us to go into the world and preach the gospel, make disciples of all nations, preach the gospel. But basically, as we go, meaning anything that we do, preach the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, right? Matthew 10, 7 through 9 says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you've received, now freely give. It's like, yes, I believe that, and nothing happens. I'm not saying that about all of our lives here, but many times we don't see, like, whoa. Well, that's because we live in a fallen world, and that's because there's a lot of sin, and that's because. But I believe in this season that God is saying to us, would you spend some time and inquire with me why you're not seeing that, or why you may have seen something like that before, but you're not seeing that now? Do you know why? Or do you relegate that to what you think you know from the past? It's not 1990. It's not 2000. It's not even 2010. It's not even 2020. Whoa, we are in a new place. So if someone says, you know, you're entering into a new dimension, we're singing and, you know, we're going into a new place, we better go. In other words, the dimension of the spirit realm has been opened to us to go deeper so that we will have access and a responsiveness to the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit where we are. And the dunamis power of Holy Spirit, whew, releases that favor of God on our lives, releases people into their destiny, releases people from the bondage that the enemy brings. That when people are just struck down and destroyed and killed, it's like, well, you know, it's just his time. Maybe not. In other words, the enemy is a liar. The enemy is a thief that comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. And when we see that, our focus is never on the enemy. It's always on Jesus, but there's an awareness of what the enemy's doing. So I was telling some people, our kids, this week that the Lord was speaking to me about Ephesians 6, 10 through 20 or 21, depending on what the version is that you have. And I particularly like that in the Passion Translation. I like it in all the versions. But I'm telling you, the Lord is saying above all this. In other words, above chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and the first part of 6. Come on, we all like Ephesians 1 and 2 and 3, don't we? Oh, yeah, I know who I am in Christ. Good, act like it. I know what I was saved from. Good, act like it. But the thing is, if we don't apply Ephesians 6 to our lives, 10 through 21, and we're not walking prepared, and especially is appropriate for this Memorial Day, isn't it? If we are not prepared, then, hey, some things happen that wouldn't necessarily have to happen. Well, God's in control. He is sovereign. Yes, he is. However, he's saying, did you read the book? Do you know who your enemy is? Do you recognize what the enemy can do and has permission to do unless you stop him by my power, by my dunamis, by my authority? I'm the enforcer through you. In other words, the Lord is taking us into these places like Habakkuk. He didn't have the equipment we do. He didn't have Ephesians 6. He had to rely on what God was telling him and say, this is what he said. Better do it. And they still went into Babylonian captivity and the exile. And that was part of God's plan. So here we are with where we are. And it's funny, I was reading this and I noticed that Ben Atkinson, he must have been here on a Sunday or something in 2016. And I just noted that in the book of Habakkuk in a special spot. And I hadn't seen it. And I've been reading Habakkuk before. And it's like, oh. And he was highlighting some things. Maybe generally, I don't know. I'm a little more specific on this right now because we are in a season where our kids need to be walking closely with Jesus. We can't force that. But they need to see that we are. And we need to help them. We need to influence them properly. But, you know, we can always go overboard, too, and be afraid. And go, well, they can't do that because they might see something. Oh, my gosh. Come on. Let some of these young ones rise with the Spirit of God that's in them and give them into the hands of the Lord so that they can actually do what they were created to do. And maybe they're called to recognize and respond and rescue and restore. But give them the opportunity and the means to do that without fear. So there's a lot of leeway here, but the Lord is the Lord. He speaks to us if we'll listen. If we don't listen, then we don't listen. But I can just tell you that with Habakkuk, I wanted to go through a couple of verses here in Habakkuk 2, 1 through 4. I think I have that. If you can put that up, please. Good job, Everett. You're amazing. You're doing so great back here. But this is really cool what he says. Habakkuk 2, 1 through 4. And I'm not going to go through chapter 1 right now because you guys get to read it. We don't have time for that today. But Habakkuk 2, 1 through 4 says, I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart, and I will keep watch to see what he will speak to me and how I may reply when I'm reproved. Then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision. Some of you have actually heard that in prayer or in a vision or in a dream or somewhere. Record the vision. What does that mean? Go back to the book of Habakkuk, but go and see what God's saying. Record the vision. In other words, what I'm telling you, get it and then give it to somebody else. It's for them, not just you. And it says, record the vision and inscribe it on tablets. I mean, maybe he did this in the center of town. We don't know. That the one who reads it may run, for the vision is yet for the appointed time. In other words, it hasn't taken place yet. And those who understand the book of Revelation, and the Jewish people did not to the extent, because you need the Spirit of the living God inside to understand Revelation in its entirety, the Spirit of the living God who lives inside will give the fullness of the Spirit of Revelation in the book of Revelation. It says, for the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it will certainly come. It will not delay. Behold, as for the proud one, because I'll tell you what, guys, pride is so sneaky. And when pride takes root and we think we're doing a good thing and it's just stinking pride, that was the beginning of the downfall in Judah at this time. That was the beginning of the downfall, even for Habakkuk. He was told here by God, don't let pride get you just because I'm telling you some things. So just be really mindful of that. Lord, I don't want to be prideful about this. I just really want to get what you're saying. And I'm willing to humble myself so that I can hear what you are saying, what the Spirit is saying to the church. Holy Spirit is saying to the churches. Remember in Revelation 2 and 3, at the end of all seven churches that received a message, it said, he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Exactly, word for word. In all seven accounts in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. Wow, we're in a great time. It says, his soul, behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him. So if there is any pride that's stuck in there or rising up or coming towards us, there's something wrong in our soul realm. Because that's where pride's going to hide. But it's going to look like something. It may be in the way in our reactions. It may come out in our opinions. It may come out with distractions that we have. You know, these are just truths that God gives us so that we can say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. So I'm going to get closer to you, Lord, and then you'll show me because you live in me by the Spirit. I don't have to get a list out. God's not like that. All right, write these terrible things down that he's telling you that you are. He's not like that. That's not my God. But he's saying right here, he's saying, you know, get closer to me. And then if there's any pride, which would be the antithesis of that in any way, you'll start to see. You'll start to recognize and respond and be rescued and restored. And you'll be far more effective to be able to know when to open your mouth and when to be quiet, when to say something and when to not. I'm so proud of you guys. You all do this really well. I still have a lot to learn myself. And so he really was speaking to me this weekend. And it's like, wow, I just want to share with my family here, you know, things that he is speaking to his people about. Because he's no respecter of persons. What he speaks to me, he can speak to you. Okay? We just want to, you know, connect with Holy Spirit and hear what he's saying through his word. And then he says, behold, as for the proud one which I read, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith. The righteous will live by faith. Oh, my goodness. Righteous will live by faith. Wait a minute. Was he a righteous man? Was Abraham a righteous man? We're not going to get into all of those discussions, although they're good to have. But the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ that comes to you and me, when we really give our lives to Jesus, we don't just believe, like, yeah, I believe that Jesus died on the cross and he rose from the dead and that's good, and there's might be a heaven and a hell, and that's pretty good, and I try to do a good thing and live my good life. And all the Lord says, if you believe these things, then you will give your life to me. That's the part I didn't know as a kid. That's the part I didn't know as a teen, as a college kid. I didn't know that. I didn't know why I would want to do that. I didn't understand. I didn't have the spirit of understanding. I had blinders on. Lots of religious teaching, but I didn't understand. And you know what? The Lord took his time and he drew me to the point where he would open my eyes. But it wasn't without a fight, because when I said, you better show me, and if you show me, that was the tough side of me that was so prideful, and when you show me, which was the side that faith was starting to percolate a little bit, when they came together, I already said, I will love you, I will serve you, I will give you my whole life. I will walk in the truth. I will surrender to you. I will follow you all the days of my life. Who the heck does that? That is just plain weird. And that was by the Holy Spirit. And that's how he draws us, different ways. And when I got born again, there was no altar call. There was no one singing a song at all. But I had said those things to God. I put myself there. And then, you know, I finally reached that point that he was revealing himself to me. So we need to think about that for the people who are in our midst. I would like to say, I believe we're in a season where it can go faster. I didn't have tools and I didn't have people around me who recognized that I was lost. No, because they were lost themselves. They didn't know how to respond because they hadn't responded yet. That was my deal. But I believe in this season, we're in a whole different place. And I believe that God is saying, step out of the boat. Step out of the boat. Take a risk and you'll be surprised. I believe God will back you up, even though you might have some resistance. And any resistance we ever get is just fear. But when it's perfect love casting out fear, when you're containing that. God, he makes a way. So I'm going to look at a couple more verses before we wrap it up. Romans 16 and 17, and then the Hebrews, and then the Galatians verses, Everett, okay? So Romans 1, 16 and 17. Because the just shall live by faith, let me tell you, this is cool. You all know this scripture, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And power, by the way, is dunamis when you look it up in the Greek. I'm not ashamed of it. In other words, I'm going to step out of the boat and I'm going to let that gospel message so contain me that others will see me. Next verse. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written. Now, this is a quote, guys, from Habakkuk. I love it. The righteous man shall live by faith. For in it, let me read it again. For in it is the righteousness of God. In it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. So this was a message of the coming Messiah. This was going to be fulfilled when Jesus came. Because these beautiful people at that time, they were given the law, told to obey, and they weren't even able to keep that. It was leading up to this. That was God's plan. That's how he did it. So it's interesting. If you think about this, I don't know if you're aware of this, but Martin Luther, when he recognized, when he understood that this is God, that's when he said, wait a minute here. It's the just will live by faith. That means that I can be justified by faith in the Son of God. And it's not by works, and it's not by the past, and it's not by an ordinance. It's by faith in the Son of God. And he went to the wall for that, as you know. And that's what Martin Luther did. Based on this scripture, it says when you read about his life, it's kind of cool, that's what just was like, boom, the Lord opened his eyes to see that. I love it. Let's look at Hebrews 10, 37 and 38. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. Next one. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Oh. So throughout the New Testament, let's look at this. My righteous one shall live by faith. That means there's no room for fear. But if we understand God, we're going to recognize when someone's reacting or responding in pride and reacting, responding in fear. And it's what we do with that. We don't want to judge them, but yet we want to recognize, so we respond in the opposite spirit, which is really faith. It's only faith that pleases God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But we have to know who he is, Hebrews 11:6 says. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But we must know who he is. And then he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So he's rewarding us now in this life, this time, not just going into heaven someday. Okay? He's rewarding us now, and he's saying, I'm your reward, and I'm going to give more. There are going to be people around you, your sphere of influence. Stop and look at them. He was showing me this weekend a lot of people from my past, a lot of people, and people I didn't know who were very stuck in the past. And I really cool, nice people. I like them. Friends, you know, I love people. But recognize, I want to be used to help people get free. I really do. And they need to know. They need to know who I am in Jesus. So I position myself, I posture myself, I look for ways. How can they know that Jesus is everything to me? How can they know that? So that I can help them get rescued and restored. And then the cycle continues. And then the next verse after that, which is Galatians 3. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous man shall live by faith. Amen. That's beautiful. And again, I was reading all through the book of Galatians recently, and if you really want to get some understanding, deeper understanding of the law and the purpose of the law, read Galatians 3. It's just amazing. And one thing that the Lord spoke quite a bit to me about also that I think will be helpful as we wrap up with how we can best move in tandem with what he's releasing to us today is to recognize, let me just read to you, Everett doesn't have to put it up, you just listen, okay? But in chapter 3, it says, "You foolish Galatians," verse 1, "who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit? Are you now being perfected by the law?" It's like we this is where the enemy comes to get us. The Lord has us on this trajectory when we come to know him, and he says, "Ah, Jesus says, this is my man, this is my girl, this is my woman. Now stay in the game. Stay right there in the Spirit of the living God. And watch what I do. I will change you and everybody around you." It's so great. But it's really, really good to read the rest of that. It says in, I don't want to read too much more. Just read chapter 3 because we're out of time here. You will love it. It really speaks about righteousness, and it will really help us understand what we're supposed to do. But what I want to wrap up with right now will be Habakkuk 2:20. Yeah. I'm going to read that to you. I don't know how fast you can get it up back there, and if you want to, Everett, you can try for it. If not, that's okay because I didn't give it to you. So Habakkuk 2:20, I love this, reads, "But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him." This is so beautiful. And then he starts to pray. So in Habakkuk 3:2, let me just read that. This is his prayer. He says, "Lord, I have heard the report about you, and I fear. Oh, Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known in wrath. Remember mercy." So he's crying out for God's mercy. And then he concludes in verse 17, 18, and 19. This is the very end of the book. And then it will bring a conclusion here, which is this. Let me read it to you. If you have it, you can put it up, 17 through 19. It says, "Though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation." And finally, the last verse, so cool. "The Lord God is my strength, and he has made my feet like hinds' feet and makes me walk on my high places." That means no matter what we're going through, no matter what we're facing, no matter what it is that is in our destiny, that he wants us to get to the point of being able to completely rely on him to fulfill that which he has ordained before the foundation of the world, but it was actually imprinted in us in our mother's womb. We can fulfill. We will fulfill. It shall come to pass, and there's no doubt about that. That's how big our God is. So it's having a healthy response to all of these things. But recognizing that when we're in the Word, it helps us be in the world, but not of it. You know, think about that. God's calling us to cultivate a really deep missional. Okay, don't get, you know, freaked, like, "Oh, that means I have to get on a plane and I have to go." A deep missional heart. In other words, with recognize, respond, rescue, and restore, the Lord says, "I'm going to develop something in you that's so strong that you'll be so anchored that you will not, even if you stumble for a day or for a few years." And it might be pretty bad stumble. I will pick you up. I will rescue you. I will bring you back. I will restore you. I will give you. Turn to me. I am your God, and I will make a way. The impossible situations that we face are not anything for God. We just don't know it. We don't believe it because we have a big enemy. But those who can see will do whatever it takes to rescue somebody out of that, whatever it takes on their end to rescue, to restore. They will not quit. They will not give up. They will not stop. They will recognize their place in intercession or just kindness along with intercession, whatever it is. And it may be rugged and it may be tough, but the Lord says, don't stop. Wait and watch what I do. And I will do it. But don't wait in your way. Don't wait in your timing. And don't wait with what you think you need to do. It's got to come from me. And I will show you such amazing things. How many of us believe the Lord's in a time of acceleration right now? You believe that? I do. He's wanting to, because he's saying it's not time to stay mixed up. It's not time to stay confused. It's not time to be taken over by shame, by guilt, by condemnation, by fear. And it's going to swirl there as long as you allow it to swirl there. It will stay there. If you don't want it to be there, the Lord has a way. He has a way of escape. He has a way of breaking through that. He's that big. Habakkuk was beginning to see how big our God is through this. He didn't expect necessarily that God was going to answer him. But, you know, I don't know. How many of us would say that the verse that comes to their mind in Habakkuk is Habakkuk 2:14? We all know that, or many of us know that, right? For the knowledge, not the glory, it's the knowledge of the glory. Read it. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. The knowledge of the glory. In other words, that's the fulfillment. The Lord is saying, this is going to happen. And yeah, like you saw in the video, you know, God is good, devil's bad. God wins, devil loses. Yeah, that's going to happen. But the Lord is saying that spiritual knowledge, that overtaking where every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Every person will see. Every blind eye will be opened. It doesn't matter. I had a conversation with somebody this weekend. And I said, it doesn't matter when you stand before Jesus what you say your belief system was. He doesn't care. He's going to say, do you know me? And why should I let you in my kingdom? That is it. But the thing is, he wants that to spread. So Habakkuk 2:14, the Lord says, this is where we need to be. We need to be in the Word. We need to be spending time with people of like spirit. In the Word, together. You can hear on your own. That's great. Good for you. I do too. But we need to be together. And we need to be talking together. We need to be reasoning together. But not about things, I'm going to call them silly things. Things that matter when we're talking about the Word. Because I'm telling you what, God is opening up a new realm for each one of us. But corporately, he's doing that too. He's going to say, what do you need? What do you need here? What do you need in this place? I know what we need. Some things, they're not happening yet. They need to. But others have to see. And I have to see more. And we need to do it together. The Lord's saying, listen, get the ark ready because the rains are coming and I'll fill the ark. This is good news. I'm very excited about this. But I say individually, for each one of us facing all kinds of things, that we can receive hope. This 3-chapter little book is filled with questions, inquiry, but don't get stuck in chapter 1 or even chapter 2. Get into all the way through so you can see how big our God is. Because it's just a pattern, and the Holy Spirit wasn't even living in people back then. Come on. So if we live under a new and better covenant, let's see what the pattern was, and let's see what God might be saying. And if he is, we need to cry out for his mercy and his grace without fear and enjoy where we are. And I believe we're in a company of people that they really enjoy where they are, have a good time. And I think that's great. I love that. I can be in somebody in their presence and I can see the joy, if joy is there, real joy. I'm not talking about crying. We can have joy and we can be crying, going, this is terrible, but God, there's joy there. Okay? I've been there. It's really true. So, Father, we're just going to talk to you here at the end. We're wrapping up because we want to do it. Wrap up right now. And Father, whatever is going on in each one of our lives, you already know. And Father, we have a little more word, a little more revelation, a little more understanding of how great you are, how mighty you are, how caring you are, and how you're going to bring us through whatever is going on in our world and life, and you're going to take us to the other side. And you've got that plan for our families, for our friends, for this place. You've given us that heart, God, to be able to say, what are we going to do about all this, God? And we're going to go to you and say, but we're not going to be stuck in how bad the junk is. We're going to say, I see it, but my Redeemer lives. You are gracious. You are omnipotent. You are the great I am. You are the one. You are the great one who has slain the enemy. And I thank you, Father, that you are the resurrected one, and you give us everything that we need pertaining to life and godliness, and we can believe that. And Father, that our heart will shine with that revelation to everybody that we're around. People might make fun of us. It's okay, because we carry you, and let them know, let them see. Thank you, God. You're so gracious, God. You're so gracious. Today's a day of graciousness, of your greatness, God. Comfort the families, God, who've lost loved ones. Comfort the ones who've been martyred, the families of those who've been martyred around the world. Comfort the ones who are in harm's way. Comfort the ones, God, that don't know this about you, that need to be strengthened, they need to be empowered, they need to be encouraged, they need to be completely filled up with you, with dunamis power, because you're the answer and you're the solution. Let our intercession show that. Let our care show that in every way. Let it be, God. And we will see a change even in our midst, even in our four walls, even in these walls. We'll see a change because we're tracking with you. Let it be, God. Let it be. We love you so much, Jesus. Thanks for giving us hope today once again. You're so great and greatly to be praised, our powerful God. And we all said, amen. God bless you on this Memorial Day weekend. Celebrate with families and friends and celebrate the lives that have been laid down for our freedom, because it's for freedom that Christ set us free. Amen. God bless you all. Go to picnics or go wherever you go. Amen. It's 12:29. Time to go. Enjoy, enjoy. God bless you all.